Freedom. This is Monk Ellen, and I'm speaking about reading it from the book Absolute. This is the course book of the University of Healing, and it's chapter 3. Freedom is not the nature of Absolute. Absolute is not free. Freedom is changeableness. Freedom is the opportunity to do things differently. A being who is free is one who is not constrained by any principles, does not choose to accept obligations and necessities for causes he puts into motion. One who is exempt from responsibilities. One who has no set direction, one-pointed, lacking in discipline, not directed by any dedication, lacking diligence and determinations to be. Most define freedom with individual liberty to be and choose, but actually freedom more specifically is described as not having made a choice. Humans eagerly seek to set and follow their own way, their own rules. But because the way is untried, the rules are variable and unstable. The choice changes often. Absolute-oriented being listens to his introspective self and follows it unhesitatingly. The only choice of Absolute is being itself. As we determine to establish our priorities in line with the highest and best for ourselves, we do so constructively, with the inner knowingness that what we seek we are, and we let it be revealed. The freedom to make any choice we choose looks less and less exciting. We make numerous choices and change them constantly. This too is our freedom. So it is our very freedom which makes us truly not free. For in our freedom we make decisions which seriously limit and inhibit us. No matter how free we feel we are to do as we please, all our freedoms are jaded by who and what we really are. Businesses are choices. In absolute exists all isness. The isness are each choice we make, are each inhibition we have established for ourselves, are all the struggles we have made to overcome or deny ourselves in surmounting the circumstances of life. There is no judgment in an isness. There is no judgment in choice. There is no judgment in a limit, inhibition, or any expression. The judgment comes in relative comparisons. This too is a freedom. All expression is an isness. The imperative for each of us is to determine the isness that appears to us, and then with all the expertise of a master establish ourselves humbly, one-pointedly, non-possessively, with discipline, diligence, dedication, determination in its allness. Our isness may be being a spiritual master. Our isness may be being divine in everything we do. Our isness may be in being the expression of total abundance, total harmony, total joy, and a total physical master. Any relative virtue is fully attainable, depending on the level of our desire for ourselves. It's important to remember, no one judges us. We are as great or small as we say we are. We always are free to be or not to be, and we alone make the choice. being an isness, we choose for ourselves, knowing it already exists and claiming it simply for what it is. It is accomplished in our experience. Just as freedom is an isness, so too restraint is an isness. Since the allness makes no value judgments, all is unemotionally and fully given, fulfilling any cause put into motion. A hammer will pound a nail into a board, or it will pulverize a stone. The hammer does not define its work, one chore or another, while a hammer will more readily be used for building than it is for writing. Yet with a chisel, a hammer inscribes a message on a stone or wood. A hammer has possibilities limited only by our imagination. The hammer works. Copper into kettles, gold into sheets, for inlay work, rings a gong, strikes the strings of a piano, vibrates against the incus, anvil-shaped bone in the middle ear of mammals, rings the alarm bell of a clock, ad infinitum. Whither our imagination takes us, all without any interpretation or judgment, the hammer functions judgmentlessly. The hammer has no freedom. The hammer does as its function or user provides. A bricklayer taps his brick into place with the heel of his hammer handle, not its original purpose. Another bricklayer winds his level line around the hammer head and lays it on his stringer to help him through his run of brick. Not its original purpose. Yet no one judges the hammer or the bricklayer for his unique apparent misuse of the hammer. The onlooker merely muses how classic and creative of this journeyman in his craft. This becomes not too long, and so I leave it until here, and I think that's quite a lot to think about. Well, you all have a good day, and think about what freedom means for you.